every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OA, CA, GA, PA, SLA, SLA, ACR, RR, MM, DRA, HA, FAIR. Apparently, I was saying that wrong.
FAIR?
Yeah, Food Addicts in Recovery.
That's fair.
That is fair.
Yeah.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Hi, Shelly. How you doing?
Oh,
I'm fine.
I'm doing fine. I'm in the house right
okay,
now.
Okay, what's the matter?
I'm going. I wasn't ready for the show, but I'll come back shortly.
Shelly.
There she is.
Wow, there she is.
She has appeared.
Well, I had to go and see what the racket was inside because I don't want the cats knocking something on the floor that the dogs will then eat and barf up on the floor.
You know what's good? It's good that it never rains in Southern California.
Why is that good?
It's being facetious because it's been raining for days.
It's been kind of nice, actually.
I haven't minded it today. Of course, you're the one that's out there trying to paint windows.
Well, it kills painting Christmas windows because it takes forever. I put white on a window, white paint. It took an hour and a half for it to dry before I could put any color on it.
Oh.
You know what it's like to sit outside the library
and watch paint dry?
For an hour and a half and watch paint dry? So
you could have sat there and read a book.
Well, you know what? I'm sitting there and I'm feeling in the holiday spirit, so I start singing. And I'm like, what was the song I was singing?
Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
I was singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
At full
and
throat.
I didn't realize these two ladies had come out of the church next door. And I'm like standing there looking at the paint, singing my heart out in the echoey chamber of the library hall thing there. And then I hear these women behind me start to applaud. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I had a fan. I had two fans. Those gals,
they
were so old, they were going to throw Depends at me. It was almost like Tom Jones. But can you imagine a Tom Jones concert now? Just loads of Depends flying up on the stage.
Granny panties.
That's sad. How was your day, Shelly?
Kind of tiring. I'm okay. Just had a lot of housework. So I
had a bad start today. Locked my keys in my truck.
Yes, and why did your day start out bad?
Whoa,
forgot to do what?
You forgot to pray?
Oh, I forgot to pray, yeah.
Yes.
So I started the day over.
I knew that right away.
I started the day over, and then right after that, I went to two stores looking for this item I was looking for, and neither one of them, who both used to have it, neither one of them had it.
Now, to let all the people out there know, Bruce locked his keys in his truck today. Bruce has a window that doesn't roll up, so it means one window was down.
No.
And he locked his keys in his car. That makes you a moron.
No, the windows work.
He fixed his window.
The window works.
You're like the guy who calls AAA and says, I locked my keys in my car. You got to hurry and come out because I left the top down and it's raining.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, you know what that means.
What's it mean?
Wow. Well, that means it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Fran.
Fantastic.
Bill, Donald, Brian.
Who's Brian?
And I believe Deborah, but I'm not sure. Okay.
It's not as cold as I thought it was going to be.
No, it's kind of nice tonight.
In terms of the top 10 places this year where you don't want to be if you're in danger of having a heart attack, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is like number 5 on that list.
Oh, did someone have a heart attack there?
Two people had a heart attack and died at the parade.
They died?
One of them was a 67-year-old clown who was blowing up balloon animals next to his wife. When he
keeled over. Here is a guy having a heart attack with a big painted smile on his face.
Yes, I know. That's
wow.
Are you okay? Oh, he's fine. He looks happy.
Oh, yeah. And the worst part is the news story that one of our wonderful listeners sent me to had a picture of him dead on the gurney.
With a big grin?
With a big grin. His little clown face.
He died happy.
God.
I'm looking at that going, they couldn't have put a sheet over him or something or a circus tent? I don't know.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be as good a picture.
Yikes.
He must have died with one of the hookers there. He died with a smile on his face.
And the weirdest juxtaposition is his wife, who was standing next to him when he died, is also a clown. And she is, like, weeping hysterically with the smiley face on.
Oh, my God.
It's just wrong.
It was totally wrong. Yikes. And
you think that's wrong. You should have seen the kids that were weeping that didn't get their balloon animal because he was only halfway done with it.
And the other person who collapsed and died of a cardiac arrest was a 58-year-old police officer, Charles Sutton. He was hooking up
a
car that needed to be towed off the parade route when he died.
Oh, I thought he was trying to give CPR to a clown.
Yikes. Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
We jest. We're very sorry for those families.
We are.
Yes.
But it's a clown.
Sucks.
It is a clown.
It's a clown.
Okay.
You know what? If he was truly a clown, the picture of him dead with the smile on his face must have had him rolling.
In the UK,
Ugh.
Frank Jones, he's a...
I know him.
A retired man. He's 74 years old. He has a son who has a serious drug problem. And he wanted to earn the money to £2,300 to put his son through a rehab. So we decided it would be a really good idea to grow pot to sell.
I'll bet the kid
At the rehab?
No, in his backyard.
Oh.
So in order to put his drug-addicted son through rehab, he started growing pot. Now, the problem is he's not a drug dealer. He's not a criminal.
He is now
because he's getting arrested, got arrested. So he's growing these things like out in the open. Everybody can see them.
Uh-huh.
When he was arrested after they took the police, somebody reported him. The police came, dug up the plants, took him off to jail. He said he didn't realize that he was doing anything that wrong because he's not really a drug dealer. When asked how he was planning on distributing these drugs, he said, "I don't know. I don't know any drug dealers. I was just going to try to sell them." He had no plan whatsoever. He was just growing this because somebody told him that if he took this little packet of seeds, he could make like 3,000 pounds.
You know what I guarantee? I guarantee that his neighbor was not an 18-year-old kid, the one that turned him in. There's nothing better than having a weed grower next door to you because you could go and Skype all kinds of bud. Not that I would know.
You know what? If I was a dealer, though, and producing, the first thing I would say if the cops showed up was, "I don't do this."
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing.
He said it was surprisingly easy to grow.
It's a weed.
Grows like a weed.
It is. Well, I just think it's ironic.
Although to grow really good weed, it's not that easy.
You need lots of electricity, lots of light and heat.
He was told
styrofoam.
He was told that the seeds that he was given would grow about 3,000 pounds worth of marijuana. It ended up having a street value
that's
of 12,000 pounds.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a lot of weed.
Wait, 3,000 pounds?
The money.
No.
Money. 3,000 pounds in
so
money.
3,000 pounds of weed is a ton and a half.
No, 3,000 pounds like dollars. Like,
that's a grip of cash.
Yeah. Bills. Here's an interesting little trivia thing. Do you know that 80% of all the U.S. currency, like the actual bills, is in $100 bill denominations?
How much?
80%. Now, you might think, now, if
is that because each one of them is worth 100 singles?
No.
Oh.
They're $100 bills.
I'd like to have some of those.
That would imply, saying that 80% of all the currency in circulation is $100 bills, would imply that my wallet should have 31 $1 bills, 7 5s, 5 10s, 21 20s, 4 50s, and 23 $100 bills.
That wouldn't be.
I would like that.
However, most of us don't have that.
That wouldn't be 80%, though.
No, that's
sure wouldn't.
I'm just saying what this economist says.
He's not a very good economist.
Yeah, if you can't add up percentages. At any rate, The reason they think that this is because of the number of U.S., not citizens, but people who live in the country that are sending money to relatives outside the country. They estimate that nearly 70% of all U.S. currency in circulation is actually not in the country. It's in other countries. People in poorer countries have their relatives that live and work here send the cash back to them, and they hang on to it when their money devalues.
You know how many billions of dollars of $100 bills are in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or in the hands of the Mexican cartel.
Yeah. Well, in California, most of the money is going down to Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, places like that.
Colombia.
Yeah.
Peru.
I just thought that was an interesting little bit of trivia. A New York billionaire is named Stuart Rahr. He owns a string of pharmacies. He's a billionaire. He calls himself the number one king of all fun.
Wow.
Got in a bit of trouble when he had
life on the farm.
That's just like asking for trouble.
He had two guns confiscated. When he was trying to get onto the Trump Tower elevators, and the elevator operator wouldn't hold the elevator for him. He got mad and pulled a gun on the elevator operator. He was actually standing with Senator Charles
Schumer.
Ooh. Thank you. Whatever his name is.
He's not the king of fun anymore.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get arrested because...
Because he was with the senator.
He's with a senator, and he is extremely good friends with Donald Trump and Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. Yeah.
You would think that just having a gun next to the senator would get you a one-way ticket to the floor by the Secret Service.
Secret Service doesn't travel with senators.
No?
No.
No. Oh, well.
No, billionaires with guns travel with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's his guys?
Interesting enough, the gun was not loaded.
Well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
That's galactically stupid.
Yeah. What are you going to do, throw it at him?
Why would you carry a gun that isn't loaded?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, really. And speaking of guns, we're moving on to San Antonio, Texas.
Well, oh, there's plenty of guns there.
At a South Park Mall in San Antonio, Texas, they opened for Black Friday shopping, you know, obviously on Thanksgiving, because for some reason Thursday is the same as Friday now.
Yeah.
They were in front of a Sears store. One shopper tried to shove his way to the front of the line before the store opened. You know, people were lining up. And he started arguing with a bunch of people.
How many people pulled guns on him?
And then he punched a guy in the face.
Oops.
The man who got punched pulled his gun and held the guy at gunpoint. The crowd ran away. And this is what I love about Texas.
So this guy's up in the front
now. He's up in the front of the line now.
What I love about this is Texas for you. The crowd dispersed. The line cutter, the guy that punched him, fled. 10 minutes later, everybody's back in line.
In the right spots?
And business resumed. Yes, and business resumed as normal.
Okay.
The police were called by a store associate, but they said that they weren't going to do anything because he had a license to carry a weapon. Yeah. He's in Texas, and the guy punched him in the face, so why wouldn't he pull his gun?
Stand your ground, baby.
There you go.
I love Texas.
It's got one of the lowest murder rates in the United States.
I know.
You know, I always said that everybody...
And also one of the lowest armed robbery.
Yeah, because you don't know what you do not know what's going to happen if you show up.
12 other people in 7-Eleven that are packing.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. You walk into a 7-Eleven and try to rob the place with a knife, and all you'd hear would be the clicking of a dozen guns.
It looks like that scene from Trading Places when Eddie Murray crawls off underneath the table, and the 9 cops all shove a gun in his face at the same time.
All right, let's see. Wait, I got to go back to Southern.
The end of Chinese Connection with Bruce Lee, where there's 270 cops out in front, and he goes into a flying kick.
By the way, I watched Skyfall the other day.
Uh-huh.
Last night.
Uh-huh.
British guys with automatic weapons aren't any better than guys fighting the A-team or the A-team themselves.
Yeah, no, I know.
My God. How many shots can you miss with?
Especially when you're highly trained.
Yeah. These are agents, for God's sakes.
Yes.
Okay, a new study has been done.
Was there funding?
Apparently there was, and also apparently I cut off the other half of the story, so I have no idea where the study is out of.
Oh.
I'm sure Bill will post on Recovery 101 group and let me know, because Bill is the master of studies.
Recovery 101.
There's a new concern. You know how everybody says that marijuana doesn't really have any long-term health effects when used, quote, end quote, properly.
That's what the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws says.
They have found an increased correlation between adolescents who regularly smoke marijuana and the risk of developing schizophrenia.
Oh, shit, I'm done for.
Yes.
And so am I.
Apparently, there are certain people that have a genetic predisposition to schizophrenia that when they smoke marijuana, that that gene is, like, activated or whatever. Like, you know, what's the word for it?
Activated.
Sure, okay. Like the Kraken arising from the depths of the ocean.
So I knew a guy, I knew a guy with schizophrenia once. He got so pissed one time he was beside himself.
I'm a schizophrenic. I'm a schizophrenic and so am I.
Okie dokie, in Salt Lake City.
Utah.
John Coleman Unker, 44 years
drug
old.
Drug story.
Wow.
He was arrested for aggravated assault and failure to respond to an officer's signal. He drove into a construction area, even though there were reflective construction barrels and everything, just drove right through him. When he was pulled over, he smelled like alcohol, strongly, spoke with slurred speech and said, "I'm not getting out of the truck." The police officer again told him to get out of the truck, whereupon he sped off with the officer attached to his mirror. Had gotten caught. The officer had gotten caught on the on the truck's mirror. Yeah. He managed to use his other arm with his flashlight to beat the mirror off the side of the truck, so he was only dragged about 10 feet.
Why
wouldn't he beat the guy driving the truck instead?
Well, because I think his immediate concern was not to be dragged away with the truck.
You start hitting a guy in the head with a flashlight, he'll slow down.
If you got a flashlight that's big enough to beat the mirror off in 10 feet, you could have broke the window and killed the guy inside with it.
Okay, so at any rate, this is not the smartest drunk in the world. He gets away because the officer was more concerned with getting unattached to the truck. Mm-hmm. Then a few minutes later, came back and admitted to the cop that he had had 12 beers. And he apologized for drinking and was taken into custody.
He apologized for dragging him?
Yeah, I mean...
I'd have gone to the auto parts store and gotten a new mirror put on the side of my truck.
Did he get charged for dragging the guy?
No, he was charged with aggravated assault. So, I guess in Salt Lake City, that's what you get charged with.
Okay.
Now, here's an interesting thing, and there are several ways that we could take this.
Believe me, we'll take it the wrong way.
Well, no, it's not like that kind of thing.
Oh, but, okay.
An island that belongs to France... It's called Sandy Island. It's about 20 miles long and 5 miles wide, and it was located in the South Pacific.
They surrendered.
Has vanished.
They surrendered.
They surrendered. It's on all the maps. The French Geological Survey went out to check on the island, so to speak, and it had disappeared. They couldn't find it.
It was stolen.
So they went to Google Maps. It shows up on Google Maps, shows up on recent radar. It's there when you aerial views. They can't find it physically. In boats, they go there. It is not there.
It was an alien spaceship.
I think there's aliens involved here. I think you're right.
They took the island?
It was the island. They were the island.
Oh.
Yes. They had a big ship like laying there, and they just put sand on top of it.
So they are investigating to try to find out how they've misplaced their island. If anyone knows where it has gone,
they're
going to
spend a lot of money trying to figure out what happened to a 20-foot-long island.
Yeah, really. Okay,
was it 20 feet or 20 miles?
20 miles.
20 miles. Oh.
That's
a bit of a loss.
20
yeah,
feet.
Yeah, that's bigger than Catalina for sure.
Okay, well, that is the end of the boozy news. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment.
For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
Welcome back.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Welcome back, Shelley. To the same old place that you laughed about. She's not laughing.
She's not.
It's because now I have the Beatles stuck in my head.
You have what?
Thanks a lot, Mark.
You have the Beatles stuck in your head?
Yeah, because of you.
How do you get the Beatles?
How did I do that?
Welcome back.
You just said, do,
yeah. Okay, sorry.
Baby, you can drive my car.
I thought she was going to be saying.
She was paying no attention to us at all.
I wasn't.
When you said welcome back, I was thinking she was singing, get back.
No, because I was.
I saw an interesting video on that, actually, the other day, them recording that. Yeah. And you know what I did not realize?
What didn't you realize, Bruce?
Who played piano on that?
I don't know.
And now I can't remember his name.
Was it Billy Preston?
He's a black guy.
Was it Billy Preston?
Billy Preston.
Yeah.
The Fifth Beatle, they called him. That's what they call him, the Fifth Beatle. If you look it up, refers to him.
Okay.
And he did it in the movie Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
All right,
at
then.
At the end. Sweet. So, we have a topic sent to us from Ian.
What's Ian want us to
Africa.
Talk about? What's Ian in Africa want us to talk about?
He said there's not a lot of meetings.
He should start one.
Well, that's exactly what he was talking about.
Okay.
He wanted us to do a topic on creating or starting meetings.
Okay.
Have you ever done it, Shelley? You ever created a meeting?
No.
What would you do if you wanted to?
Probably write to World Services or the GSO or whatever and ask for a starter kit.
That
Find
helps.
Out if we actually need that type of meeting in this area. I mean, we live in an area where there's so many meetings that, oh, I want to start a new discussion group. Why? There are 50,000 of them. But if you live in an area where there isn't a discussion group, then fine. I mean, you know, find out what there's a need for, what day there's a need for. Like in this area, there aren't. There's only a couple of meetings on Wednesdays. Maybe another meeting on Wednesday would be good. But I wouldn't especially think that, you know, Tuesday or Thursday or Monday would be good days because there's lots of meetings on those days. You know, I mean, find your niche and ask for help.
Might depend on the fellowship as well. You know, I got asked on Facebook once to sponsor a guy in, where was he? Nepal. This guy goes, can you sponsor me on Facebook? I said, I've never done anything like that before. And he goes, well, there's not a lot of meetings around here. And I'm like, where are you? And he goes, and his name was like Bajit Jikileka or something, you know. And I'm like, where are you at? And he goes, Nepal. He goes, Narcotics Anonymous. He goes, it's brand new here. I go, well, who's starting all the meetings? And he goes, well, we started them, and they sent some guys from, like, Britain or something went over there and started up a bunch of meetings. And he goes, well, I go to this step study. And I said, well, who's running the step study? And he goes, you know, Bakjir or something. And I go, has he worked the steps? He goes, no one's worked the steps. And I'm like, that makes it hard to run a step study. So maybe if you're in an area where there's not a lot of people who have worked the steps, maybe starting the step study is good if you've worked them. Now, Mark, you've started meetings.
Yeah, there's only two things you need to start a meeting. A resentment and a coffee pot.
That's how most meetings get started.
That's how they all start. A resentment and a coffee pot.
That's true.
That's the first thing I would do if I was going to start a meeting. I'd get a coffee pot.
And then a place.
A place is good.
It's good. Although, if you wanted to, I mean, how many meetings? Of course, we live in an area where the weather is usually clement. Yeah, it's usually clement. So it's usually good weather. So there's a meeting at the local park. You know, there's meetings along the beach. 22nd Street and Seal Beach has got a good meeting. And they don't even pay any rent or anything. I don't know what they do for coffee there.
Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks boxes of coffee or thermal mugs, you know.
I think like that. Buying boxes of Starbucks coffee, of course, for Seal Beach, so it might not be extravagant. But it seems like it'd be a little extravagant. We started a CA meeting. We didn't start it. Somebody else started it. At an AA club.
Mm-hmm.
And the AA club was like not... They seemed to be interested in having it at the beginning mm-hmm. until it was getting in the way of things.
Like dances?
Yeah, like we can't have you guys have this meeting tonight because we're having a dance. Or you have to shut it down early because we're having a dance. And then the people that started it almost immediately bogged out on it. They were like not handy there. So we moved it.
I think the AA club just wanted the rent money.
Well, probably. Well, you know, maybe. Because I've seen some Alano clubs where they have CA and NA meetings. I think, in large part, due to the fact that there's so many dope fiends around and there's so few people that are pure alcoholics, that it kind of makes sense to have some druggy meetings around. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, we called it an AA club. It's really not an AA club.
It's an Alano
club. It's an Alano club. It's not directly affiliated with Alcoholics Anonymous.
Correct.
So, you know, I think there's a lot of places you can find to have meetings. I think Alano clubs charge too much for their meetings. And
they way do.
Yeah. So there's other places. Like, I have a meeting I just recently started, and it's at an Alano club. I'm not sure how much longer it's going to be there, other than the fact that I don't know that we've made rent that many times, and they sort of said, well, just whatever you guys took in is fine.
So, yeah, those guys are pretty cool out there, though.
Yeah, they are.
I've been to that Alano club several times. Shelley, that's your favorite Alano club.
Yes, it was. That's where I first started going to meetings. It's so a lot different than when I started, though.
So you wouldn't get seen by anyone you know.
Right.
So she picks her hometown to go to.
Yes.
Well, nobody will know you there.
Yeah. The second meeting I went to there, I ran into somebody from high school, and I said, oh, well, I came out here so nobody I would know would see me. And she said, well, you grew up out here, you stupid shit.
I'm getting information for a friend.
Yeah. I never even tried that one.
Now, let me ask you this, Mark.
Yes.
You say, let's say you live in an area, you're in the boondocks.
Mm-hmm.
The boondocks. Like, this guy is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And you decide, I'm going to start a meeting. Mm-hmm. What do you do besides a coffee pot and resentment, what do you do from the ground up? You're in an area, you don't even, maybe not even know where central office is.
We found a spot to have the meeting. Went up on the World Services site and printed out a format. Made up some flyers and passed them out at other meetings. And kind of by word of mouth, made sure to have 8-10 people there for the first meeting. We go anywhere from 6 to 8 people to 15 to 20 people at this meeting, depending upon...
Which game is playing that
which
day.
Which game is playing that day, yeah. And, you know, and that was it. And I started a speaker meeting. I reached out to... There's a few people I know in the program. So I reached out to them to... And ask them to come and speak. And
what if you, though, let's say, like this guy, and I don't, mm-hmm. he doesn't live in Africa. He's actually, I'm not exactly sure why he's there, but he's there for something. He's there with, mm-hmm. like, I don't know if it's Peace Corps, or, mm-hmm. and, you know, and he may have told me, but he's not from there. I think he might be from the UK. Mm-hmm. And so he's in an area mm-hmm. that he's not too familiar with. There's not a lot of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
How would you suggest to this guy... Where there's, you know, maybe there's a meeting or two a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you get, You know, we're not really supposed to advertise per se. There, I know we can make flyers for other meetings.
Is there another addict or alcoholic close by that he knows of?
I would think.
Then have a meeting.
Yeah, there's you only need two or three.
Yeah, there's not a big mystery to this. I mean, we had a meeting today. The meeting we had today, you know, it was rainy out. There's a big men's retreat going on that a lot of people from the area went to. We had six people at the meeting.
Where two or more gathered.
We had. I just got a text from a guy before we went on the air. He just sent me a text. Wow, great meeting today. I see what you mean about smaller meetings.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's true, too. And when you start a meeting in a new area, I guarantee the people that come that are new or that aren't new, the people that go to that meeting, you will become fast friends with them because of the size of the group.
Yeah. There's no hiding out against the back wall.
No. No, there isn't.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody gets to share. Everybody gets to know each other. Invariably, before the meeting starts, there's two or three conversations that go on. Then you have the meeting. Then after the meeting, because a meeting with five or six people, unless you and I are both there, Bruce, tends to end early.
If we're both there.
If you and I are both there, of course, we go over. And so people get to sit around and talk and get to know each other. And people who are relatively new get comfortable being around the group.
What do you think, Shelley? You're in an area you've never been in before. You moved to Montana. You're in a town. They're not. Let's say you're the only one you know of. You look in the local directory. There is no local directory. There's nothing in your town. Matter of fact, for you to go to a meeting, you got to drive like 40 minutes. But you want a meeting. So you say, I'm going to start this meeting. How do you get people to go? You're in an area where there's no meetings.
Okay, if I'm in an area where there's no meetings, I would move. but I,
well,
first,
what if you can't?
Okay, well, first, I have to go back to an earlier thing you said. You said this guy's out in the boondocks. He's in Africa. Africa is not necessarily in the boondocks. Africa is an entire continent.
But he's in the boondocks, and that he's in the boondocks of recovery because he said there's not really any meetings. Yes, there's large cities in
You know,
Africa.
The funny thing about addicts and alcoholics is that we subconsciously tend to gravitate to each other. Like, you have people come in your store, and they'll see something or notice something that makes them think that maybe you're a friend of Bill or Jimmy or whatever, and
yeah,
they'll
that
ask
be a big
the
reach
question.
In my store.
Yeah.
They'll ask the question, then suddenly you're talking. But it's not like there's an indicator on the outside of the store, you know, addict's shop here.
I have a big book on my shelf.
At any rate, the point is, if you want to start a meeting, go ahead and get the machinery going. You know, I know that CA does, and I'm pretty sure AA does. I don't know about NA, but you can get free literature sent to you if you want to start a new meeting. They'll send you a starter kit. And I know that CA, if you go to the World Services now, you can order everything online. The chips, the books, the everything.
Mm-hmm.
Get whatever it is you need. Get your coffee pot. Pick a spot. I mean, find one other, like Mark said, find one other person. And trust me, God will send the rest of them there.
Build
That's
it and they
God
will come.
Does.
It's like Field
yes.
of Dreams.
It is, exactly. It's
you
the
know
Field
what
of Recovery.
If I was in bumfrick nowhere, if I'm in some small town in Montana.
I know exactly what you'd do.
Two things. First thing I do, exactly what the big book said Bill did. I go to like the local hospital or something and say, hey, you know, what do people do for recovery around here? What do you guys do with alcoholics and stuff? The other thing I do, I put up a flyer at a bar. I swear to God I would. I put up a flyer, new AA meeting starting. Because you know there's a couple dudes in there that are like, oh, wow.
Another idea might be to call because, I mean, there are in every state or in a lot of places. I don't know about Africa, but there are, at least in the U.S., there are recovery facilities in just about every state. So let's say you're out in the middle of nowhere in Montana. Call whatever the nearest recovery facility is, even if it's 100 miles away, and tell them you're starting this new meeting because in places like that, long distances are not necessarily a barrier. I mean, my mom used to drive 2 hours to go to the grocery store when she lived in Washington.
That's true.
You know, people will drive when they're in areas where they have to drive.
We did it when we were on vacation. We went to go to this meeting. It was like 30 miles away, which on this windy mountain road was about 45 minutes or 50 minutes, and we went. And people up there seemed to go because that's where the meeting was.
Yeah.
And if you didn't drive, then you... Because the one meeting had... well, you didn't... Shelley didn't go to it, but there was probably 100 people there between the NA and the AA meetings. They had them at the same time. And this town doesn't have 100... Well, they probably have 100 alcoholics, but, I mean, the town is only like... 1,000 people. So, you know... 10% of them are probably not in all in the program, which means a lot of these people drove in.
I mean, I've shared before, I was in Washington, D.C., found a meeting, took the blue line to the red line, took the red line, got out, took a cab, and got to the meeting.
Yeah.
Could have skipped the cab, I found out, because there were two exits to the train station. Had I gone out to one to the right, the meeting was across the street.
Yeah, that
I went out to one on the left. It was a $12 cab ride.
He goes to take a 12-hour cab ride to go to the meeting instead of the guy telling him, dude, why don't you just walk across the platform? It's right there.
Yeah. Guy drove me on 3 one-way streets all the way around the corner.
Oh, my God.
You know, speaking of going to meetings on vacation, we were just in Palm Springs. We went to that, and your mom was giving you a cake. Bruce's mom practically got a standing ovation because Bruce told the sleeping bag story about how mom gave him the sleeping bag, and she was the one who gave him the cake. People were applauding and whistling
for
her.
Absolutely.
It was that. Let me give a shout-out to those guys. Fellowship Hall out in Palm Springs. Yeah. Palm Desert,
Palm
actually.
Palm Desert.
Great place.
Which meeting?
Huh?
What night?
I went to the Saturday night, and I also went to the Tuesday book study.
Okay.
It was funny. At the Tuesday book study, this guy's standing out in front, and I'm waiting for people to show up. This guy talks to me. He goes, so how many days do you have? I said, well, I've got a few days now. And he goes, oh, really? I've got 33 days, man. It's really hard. And I said, dude, you have 33 days, dude. That's going to be the hardest 33 days you've ever had.
That's right.
And he goes, well, really, how many days do you have? And I go, I don't know, like 7,800 or something like that. And he goes, oh, wow. And I'm like, yeah, well. And the funny thing is, we're in this meeting. This is a weird thing for me about Alcoholics Anonymous or any other program. I'm in a meeting an hour and a half drive from my house.
Mm-hmm.
I see two people there I know.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter sees a guy she knows.
Mm-hmm.
Goes straight up to him. Is your name Larry? He goes, oh, yeah, you're Lisa's daughter. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yep.
So, Shelley, what would your final words on creating a meeting be?
If you are meant to create that meeting in that place and that time, it will happen. God loves drunks and addicts.
Ooh, look at that. Mark?
Where two or more are gathered,
there he will be in the
midst.
There
he will be in the midst.
I think I'll steal one of yours from earlier. Build it and they will come.
Right.
So, Shelley, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your area. And you can go to, on Facebook, you can type in the number 12 and then the word step and gazette, and you can go to the 12-Step Gazette group and join us in conversation and jokes from Jim.
How about our group?
We have a group, Recovery 101. There, if you type that in, you'll actually see two groups. One will have a thing that says it's no longer active because it's the old group format. So go to the other one, and you will find us all there. Just ask to join. And myself or Bill, Robert, or Fran, our new admins, will...
Am I an admin?
We'll let you in. Yes, you are an admin.
We have new admins?
Outstanding.
We have new admins in the group because I realized the other day that there was a request from somebody to join the group.
Sitting there forever.
I have no idea how long the request had been sitting there because I don't always notice that side of the page.
Oh.
And I thought, well, Bruce doesn't go to the group very often, so maybe it might be a good idea to have some other eyes on it. So I made Fran, Robert, and Bill admins.
She's fibbing it, though. I go to that group every couple days.
I don't.
Because I post on it. I post shows
That's
on
all
it.
You do. You post and you leave.
I got Angry Birds.
Hit and run,
and stuff.
Huh?
I got Angry Birds and stuff to do.
Hit and
so,
run.
Mark.
Yeah.
Someone's listening to the show.
Thank you.
Yes. So, there you go.
What we ask is if you're listening to the show and you are getting it from someplace other than our site, we ask that you go to our site. which is recovery101.net. That will direct you to the Podomatic site where you can go up and you can click on a show. When you do, there will be a little button on there that says like. We ask that you click the like button. If you're already a member of Podomatic, thank you. You've been counted into our numbers. If you're not yet a member, there will be another box pop up that will ask you if you'd like to become a member of Podomatic. We ask that you join. So you can then go to like, or you can go to permalink, and when you do, you can like the show, you can post comments, you can add us to your playlist, follow the show. You can just come and you can participate in our recovery and your own.
Nice.
And we also ask that you maybe post a topic or two that you may want to have us talk about on the show, because when we do see comments and show topics suggested in the comments, we tend to move those to the top of the topic list.
And you can, on Podomatic too, if you want, if you don't want to put your topic in a comment on a show, you can send it to us an email there. That's what Ian did. Shout out to Ian. Oh, and by the way, shout out to Sarah and Natasha, who are people that have showed up recently and are commenting on the page.
Cool.
One of them's a recovery coach, because it said the email was like recovery coach something at something. I don't want to give it out because I don't, that wouldn't be right.
Right.
Oh, we've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself too damn seriously.
And Shelley, who is the lead out music by? Oh, Shelley's got
Booby Trap.
Shelley's got a mouthful of cupcake and the microphone's between her legs.
It's very good cupcake.
Thank you, Debbie. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Wow. Stepping in the grub shop, sitting by the wooden top, covered with a dreamy eye, from the blaze light of the sky. Since it's been April, when I had a bit of a scare, so I knew I can't get together, maybe I can't. Shot, see a pretty witty cop, couple with a chimney out, and a wind is up in the sky. Sits to the moon, one's head, little bit scared, so when the war can't get together, maybe I